Ivy could feel her palms sweating into June's as they got closer. Because this was it. Dancing. With June. Right here and right now. It was happening. Suddenly, the gym felt like one giant treehouse. Sparks of light and music and magic everywhere. June pulled Ivy and Taryn to the center of the floor. A peppy song blasted through the speakers, and all their friends and even a few teachers were moving to the music. June and Taryn immediately started dancing, swaying their hips and lifting their arms in the air. Ivy hesitated, wondering where she fit. June and Taryn were facing each other and giggling. But then June grabbed Ivy's arm and pulled her closer, and soon the three of them were moving in a little circle. Ivy's dress floated around her legs, and the cool air spun between her hands as she waved them above her head. She smiled and laughed, and her friends smiled and laughed, and it felt exactly like her first ever dance should feel. Then the music slowed down. There was a nervous feeling in the air as kids coupled up around them, tiny smiles and eyes darting to the ground. Ivy slowed down too, her breathing heavy as she watched all the arms circling around waists and shoulders. Boy, girl, girl, boy. Ivy's mouth went dry. It went even drier when Drew clomped over to Taryn and asked her to dance. It went positively desert-like when Taryn waggled her eyebrows at Ivy and wove her arm through Drew's, leaving Ivy and June alone. Ivy glanced at June, who was smiling as she watched Taryn loop her arms around Drew's neck. June's eyes sparkled, and everything about her seemed wistful. They were surrounded by pairs of boys and girls, but Ivy ignored all of them and took a step closer to June. She couldn't think about what people would say. She couldn't think about where she would put her hands. Would she hold on to June's waist, or would June hold on to hers? She could only think about June. And together, she was sure she and June could figure out anything. Hey, June? June turned toward her. Her eyes met Ivy's. Ivy's met June's. Ivy's hands were sweaty. Her heart was like a jet plane zooming around her body. So, her mouth was so dry that it nearly hurt. Zoom, zoom. Do you want to get some punch? June said. Yeah, I'm dying of thirst. Zoom, crash. Oh, Ivy said. Yeah, totally. Ivy followed June as she wove through the dancers. Ivy's heart was dissolving in her chest. If she drew herself right now, she'd use all the watery blues, her whole solid body dripping and melting into a puddle like the Wicked Witch of the West. This is so fun, June said, still out of breath as she grabbed a cup of fluorescent red punch from the table and chugged it. Mr. Lowry, an eighth-grade math teacher, filled up more clear plastic cups. Don't you think this is fun?
Yeah.
I mean, a year ago? Never thought I'd get to go to a school dance. But look at me! June held her arms out and sloshed a bit of punch on her wrist. I mean, yeah, my mom's here, and she's probably spying on me from behind some plant right now with her stethoscope hidden in her pocket, but hey, I'm at a dance. I'm dancing! It's a miracle! And you and Taryn are spending the night at my house. Another miracle. She babbled on, and Ivy nodded and smiled, trying to figure out what just happened. Didn't June want to dance? Now, June said, if I could just find a boy to dance with, that would really make this whole night a dream come true. Ivy blinked at her. It took a few seconds for June's words to sink in. And when they did, all Ivy could get out was a croaked, "What?" June swallowed another gulp of punch. You know, a boy. I love dancing with you and Taryn, but I guess I should try to slow dance with a boy. I'm almost 13. I'm supposed to have already danced with a boy, right? Do you think I should go ask one?
What do you mean, supposed to?
But Ivy knew. Every doubt Ivy never let herself have about this dance was coming out of June's mouth right now. Supposed to. Boys. Dance. June didn't answer. She kept on talking, her normal stream of chatter in hyperdrive.
Taryn looks like she's having fun with Drew. I never thought I'd slow dance with anyone either, but now that I'm here, I should try it. I want to try everything.
If Ivy could melt any more, she would.
She felt so stupid. It sounded so weird. June talking about boys. But it's not like she ever talked about girls either. Of course June wanted to dance with a boy. Of course June thought she was coming to the dance with Ivy as friends. Of course, of course, of course.
Ivy's eyes stung as she glanced around the room.
There's Charlie York.
She jabbed a finger toward a cute, dark-skinned boy from her history class.
He's nice.
Go for it. Her voice sounded flat and mean at the same time, the black gleam of a snake's eyes. June frowned, but glanced at Charlie.
You think I should?
Ivy forced herself to look at her. There was an eagerness in June's question that Ivy had never heard before. Her heart was no longer zooming. It wasn't melting or standing still. It was shattering.
Sure, Ivy whispered.
June wrapped both her hands around the empty cup so hard that the plastic crinkled loudly.
You really think I should go ask him? Like, really, really? I think you should do whatever you want to do,
Ivy snapped. She couldn't help it. Her shattering heart was sharp, jagged pieces of glass everywhere.
Okay, maybe I will,
June said, folding her arms.
Okay, good.
June frowned at Ivy, clearly confused. But she didn't move toward Charlie. Neither of them made a move to do anything. They just stood there, watching all the couples dance around them like they weren't even there. Chapter 29 Ivy's Keeper. June had somehow convinced her mother to let Ivy and Taryn spend the night. Ivy dropped her new messenger bag full of borrowed clothes on the floor of June's room and slumped into a squashy armchair in the corner. June's room was pretty, all soft blues and greens with white wood furniture. If Ivy weren't feeling so rotten, she would have marveled over the gauzy canopy draped over the bed, and how all June's books were organized by color. But Ivy was feeling rotten, and so she said nothing about anything. And, of course, after the girls changed into pajamas, Taryn suggested they watch a movie about a big, dramatic high school dance. June's mom set them up with all kinds of weird snacks like green bean chips and baby carrots with hummus and vegan carob chip cookies. The three of them piled onto June's big bed, with June in the middle. She and Taryn giggled over the romantic drama, but Ivy couldn't force out even one laugh. It was all boys with girls, girls with boys. How was Ivy supposed to know how to handle all these feelings for June, all these feelings at all? If everything she saw and read about and heard about was all boy-girl, girl-boy. Ivy started getting madder and madder at the whole thing. At June's dumb giggle. At Taryn's drew this and drew that. Ivy was so tired. She just wanted to go home. She wanted a birthday cake with her family. And she wanted Layla to sing happy birthday in French like she'd done every year since she started learning the language in 8th grade. But wanting all that just made Ivy angrier, because she had no home, and she had no birthday cake, and right now, she might as well have no Layla and no family. Ivy watched the lime-green alarm clock on June's bedside table tick over to 9:33. She'd been 13 for 11 hours.
What's wrong, Ivy?
Taryn asked. She threw a piece of natural, unbuttered, sea-salted popcorn at Ivy's head.
Hmm? Nothing.
Ivy said, tossing the popcorn back at Taryn. Taryn lifted herself onto her elbow and peered at Ivy over June.
You're quiet.
I'm watching the movie.
Did you have a good birthday?
Did. Past tense. It was over and done with.
Yeah.
Was it weird not being with your family?
It was fine.
Ivy could feel Taryn frowning at her. June was mercifully silent. The movie played on, but Ivy could tell no one was really watching it. Taryn was on a mission.
Pondering mysteries?
Taryn asked.
No, Ivy snapped. I'm not pondering anything.
What do you mean, pondering mysteries?
June asked. But neither Ivy nor Taryn answered her. Ivy dared a glance at Taryn, who looked crushed. Ivy had never been so rude about refusing to play their game before. But Ivy didn't know what to say. She felt raw, a painting that wasn't dry yet. One hard nudge and she'd smear all over the place.
What's going on, Ivy?
Taryn asked.
Nothing is going on.
Taryn sat up and crossed her legs, ready for battle.
Do you know why I started the Pondering Mysteries thing?
Because you can't handle silence, Ivy said. Taryn frowned and shook her head. June was trapped between the two of them, her eyes fixed on the TV screen.
No, Taryn said quietly.
I started it so you'd talk to me.
That made Ivy sit up.
What does that mean? I talk to you all the time.
No, you don't. Not about anything important. It's like when we started middle school, you just stopped.
Since sixth grade? That's not true. I see you every day.
Seeing isn't sharing. And then when I...
Taryn pressed her mouth flat and lay back down.
When you what?
Ivy asked.
Never mind. You don't get it.
Listen, Taryn, I do tell you stuff. I tell you about...
But Ivy couldn't finish that sentence. She knew she hadn't told Taryn about her treehouse pictures and liking girls. But she hadn't been this way since last year, had she? Then again, last year was when Taryn and all the other girls in school started talking about boys constantly, and Ivy never knew what to say anymore.
Oh, like you told me all about how your parents forgot your birthday?
Taryn asked, and Ivy felt herself pale.
You think I haven't noticed?
Ivy shook her head and looked away, embarrassed. Forgotten. Taryn's own phone rang, belting out the theme song to Star Wars. She sighed and grabbed it from the nightstand.
It's my mom. She'll want to hear about the dance.
Taryn scooted off the bed and left the room, heading toward the bathroom in the hall without another word. Ivy released a lungful of air. Taryn's mom would keep her distracted for at least 10 minutes. So Ivy had some time to get her heart rate back to normal. Taryn shared everything with her mom. Right now, she was probably sharing that Ivy couldn't seem to share anything.
Did your parents really forget?
June asked after a few seconds. On the TV screen, a girl and a boy plotted to set their best friends up on a date. Ivy didn't answer her, just shrugged and kept staring at the screen.
What's pondering mysteries?
June asked.
It's a thing we do when we get quiet for a while,
Ivy said without looking at her.
We tell each other stuff we find mysterious about the world or whatever we might be thinking about.
Sounds fun.
Oh yeah, a blast. Couldn't you tell?
June inhaled at Ivy's sharp tone, but Ivy ignored her.
I should have let you two talk alone, June said.
It's okay.
You don't seem okay.
Ivy gritted her teeth. The one time she wanted someone to tell her everything was okay, she got the opposite.
You seemed kind of upset, June said.
Before now, I mean. At the dance.
June's voice was soft and sensitive. It infuriated Ivy. It made Ivy so mad that June didn't already know. It made Ivy so angry that she had to reveal this part of herself, that she couldn't just be and let that be okay and enough. It made Ivy so furious because if June didn't know, then that meant she wasn't keeper. It meant Ivy had everything wrong, and she had no idea how to make it right. But there was one thing she could do.
You really want to know?
Ivy asked. But she didn't wait for June to answer before she was up and digging through her messenger bag for her yellow notebook. She flipped it open to the drawing she spent all afternoon working on. She dropped the notebook on June's lap.
Here. My letter to the world,
Ivy said. But as soon as she said it, as soon as her notebook left her hands, all her fury melted into nothing. She was bare and tiny, A girl standing in front of her first crush, confessing everything. The drawing was one of her stormy drawings, probably her favorite. The tree mimicked the sunset, all golds and oranges and lavenders and dusty pinks. The colors bled one into the next, making the tree look like a sky, pink apples bobbing from cloud-like leaves. Behind it, the real sky was the lightest blue and smooth, the kind of clear you got first thing in the morning. Inside the treehouse, two girls stood facing each other, so close their noses were tip to tip. Both of their hands were laced together and held between them. There was no space between their bodies, chest, hips, legs. They were complete comfort and peace. They were gentle sunsets after a storm. They were together. And it made Ivy blush from the tips of her toes to the top of her head. It was so terrifyingly obvious she wanted to rip the notebook out of June's hands. But June was holding it so tightly, her fingertips were white as she took in all the details. One girl had soft pink hair, wild curls that had been left unbraided for too long. The other girl had a dark pixie cut growing out, a single braid plaited next to her ear. One girl was Ivy. The other girl was June. And that was terrifyingly obvious, too. June blinked at the picture, her face completely expressionless. 9:46. 9:47. June. June shook her head like she was clearing it.
June, please say something.
But June remained silent, staring at the picture. Ivy stood next to her, breathing in and out, but the panic was filling her up. June hated it. She hated Ivy for feeling it. Everything was falling apart. The treehouse branches snapping, the winds blowing.
What's going on?
Taryn asked, appearing in the doorway. Ivy didn't say anything. She couldn't. She was trying to keep from crying, from screaming, from grabbing her secrets and running home. Home. A sob rose up in Ivy's throat, and she shoved her hand against her mouth to keep it inside. She reached for her notebook, and June let it go, her fingers limp. Probably from shock, Ivy thought. June finally lifted her eyes to Ivy's, and they were wet. Ivy had made June cry.
I'm sorry, Ivy whispered. Ivy, I...
What is it?
Taryn asked again. She stepped closer, and Ivy started to close her notebook, but not before Taryn grabbed a corner and pulled it toward her. Ivy led her. It didn't matter anymore. Taryn's eyes devoured the page. Ivy waited for a shocked gasp, and oh my God, anything. But Taryn didn't do any of that. Instead, she ran her hand over the picture and smiled. She actually smiled. Ivy frowned at her, but before she could ask what Taryn was thinking, Taryn told her.
I knew June was the girl.
Something went cold in Ivy.
What?
What do you mean?
Taryn looked at Ivy. Her lower lip wobbled. June was silent, but tears poured down her face. Both of her hands pressed to her cheeks.
I just wanted you to talk to me,
Taryn said.
What do you mean?
Ivy asked again, louder. Taryn took a deep breath and handed Ivy's notebook back to her. Then she went over to her own bag and pulled out a notebook. A purple notebook.
I still think you should talk to someone about it, even if it's not me, she said.
And then she offered the notebook to Ivy. The purple notebook Ivy had lost. Ivy stared at it like it would sprout wings at any moment.
Your keeper.
Taryn frowned.
I'm who?
It was you. The notes in my locker.
Taryn swallowed, but she nodded.
I found the notebook that morning at the gym. It was on the floor, so I picked it up and...
But you weren't there.
I was there early with my mom. We brought donuts for everyone, but I couldn't find you, and then I found this.
She held up the notebook. Ivy's mouth went dry. That morning in the gym, she remembered Layla mentioning that Taryn had been there, before Ivy and June came back from the library. She'd totally forgotten.
"Your name wasn't in it," Taryn went on, "but I knew it was yours. I knew, and I..."
"And you didn't give it back to me?"
Ivy's voice raised to a screech, and Taryn flinched.
"I was in shock, okay? I couldn't believe it at first."
"Oh, because it's such an awful thing to like a girl?"
"No, Ivy, that's not it. Just listen."
Taryn's eyes filled with tears.
"I was upset that you didn't tell me. All this stuff in the notebook, it was obviously important to you, and I wasn't ready to tell you."
"But you were ready to tell June?"
June made a whimpering sound and covered her face with her hands.
"That's my choice, Taryn,"
Ivy yelled, tapping the purple notebook.
"None of this was yours."
"But writing those notes with me helped,"
Taryn said.
"And I'd wanted to talk to you for a long time about, well, how you didn't talk to me anymore. You think I want to babble on and on about Drew Dunaway all the time? I just couldn't think of anything else to talk about. And I thought that if I talked about him, maybe you'd talk about someone you liked, or at least something that mattered to you. You never even talked to me about your family anymore. Then your house got destroyed and you never talked about that either. I just thought writing to you without telling you it was me might be good for both of us."
Ivy wanted to argue, but she couldn't. It was true. But none of that mattered right now. All that mattered was that her best friend had betrayed her. Her crush hated her. And nothing was her own. Nothing was right. Not her friends, not her crush, not her drawings. Ivy yanked the notebook out of Taryn's hands and grabbed her messenger bag. She stuffed both notebooks inside and threw the strap over her shoulder. She slipped her feet into her shoes. She didn't look at June, and June didn't try to stop her. She didn't look at Taryn, even though Taryn's deep sobs were all she could hear. She just left. It was time to go home. Chapter 30. Ivy, Lost and Found. Outside, it was dark and warm. Ivy kept expecting June or Taryn to burst out of the house and follow her, but there were no footsteps behind her. Ivy couldn't even hear her own footsteps as she ghosted over the sidewalk. That was exactly what she felt like, a ghost, like everything in her was slowly fading. Her family forgot about her. Her best friend betrayed her. Her crush, well, she wasn't exactly sure what June was thinking. But based on her silence and tears, it couldn't be anything good. Ivy walked away from downtown, away from the inn. 20 minutes and a few turns later, it got quiet. She could still hear the hum of cars, but mostly it was crickets and breezes through the tall grasses of the cornfields and the big front yards in need of mowing. It smelled like rain, and the wind had that full feeling to it, like it was bringing something with it. Ivy kept walking until she saw a familiar gravel driveway. Turning onto it, she broke into a run, her bag bouncing against her hip. Her feet crunched the rocks, and she felt almost giddy because her feet had crunched the rocks of this driveway so many times before. She was finally going home, to the last place where everything made sense. The trees broke and opened into her front yard. It was so dark that Ivy almost didn't see it. Nothing. She saw nothing. She knew her house was gone, but it had still been here, even if it was only rubble. Not even 3 weeks ago it was here. She could look around and see familiar things. Now it was really gone. There was nothing left. No rubble. Nothing. Just a giant pile of bricks and a big dumpster filled with junk near the oak tree that Ivy fell out of when she was 6 and broke her right arm. Where her house once stood was an empty hole, like a giant grave waiting to be filled. She sank to her knees in the 2 long grass. She saw the storm cellar doors, but other than that, her whole life was dead. It was a ghost, just like her. The wind kicked up and blew her hair around. A few drops of rain started to fall, but she barely felt them because she was gone. She'd never been at her house alone before, but somehow this felt right. It felt exactly how this night should end. She got up and went to sit under the big oak. Its trunk was wide and knobby, and its leaves kept her mostly dry from the rain. In the distance, thunder rumbled, getting closer every minute. She knew it was dumb to sit under a tree during a thunderstorm, but this felt kind of perfect too. Like she and the storm and her lost house all belonged together. So she sat there and cried. She sat there and held her own hand, trying to feel her own skin against her fingers, trying to feel real, trying to own something.
Ivy!
The storm was loud now, just like her crying, and Ivy thought she heard her name all mixed up with the wind, like it really was making them one. Even under the thick oak leaves, her shirt and hair were soaked. Her bag was tucked under her legs, protecting her notebooks, all she had left.
Ivy!
She lifted her head, because that wasn't the wind and some cosmic connection to the storm.
Ives!
Ivy peered through the sheet of rain and saw a bobbing flashlight and a girl running. Layla crashed onto her knees next to Ivy, kicking up mud and dead leaves. The flashlight spun on the ground and she threw her arms around Ivy. Her second-hand raincoat was slick and smelled like cheap plastic.
Oh my God, Ivy!
She said, pulling back and pressing her hands on Ivy's shoulders.
You're here! Thank God you're here!
She dug her phone out of her pocket and tapped on it, her fingers shaking.
Dad, I found her. She's at our house.
No, the old house.
Yeah. No, we'll meet you back at the hotel.
Okay.
Bye.
Before Ivy could say anything or react at all, Layla's arms were around her again, her face buried in Ivy's hair.
Ives, what's going on? I've been calling you all day. Why haven't you answered your phone? It's your birthday.
Ivy started crying even harder and tucked her chin into Layla's shoulder. She didn't want to. She wanted to push her sister away. But she was so tired. Until she saw Gigi hovering behind Layla, holding an umbrella.
What is she doing here?
Ivy yelled over the wind, yanking back from Layla.
What?
Layla asked.
Gigi.
Ivy pointed at her.
Why is she here?
Layla frowned, and Gigi took a step away from them.
Ives, Layla said, she's helping me look for you. You wouldn't answer your phone, and Mom called Taryn's house. We didn't know you were staying the night at June's. We didn't even know you went to the dance. We had to hear it all from Taryn's mom and Dr. Somerset. Then your friends told us you'd left. Mom and Dad are out looking for you, too. What's going on?
But you were mad at her,
Ivy said, warm tears running down her face. Her voice sounded like she'd swallowed sand.
Before the storm, you were fighting. I heard you fighting that night, and you haven't talked for weeks because Gigi likes girls and you're mad at her.
It all tumbled out. Layla's eyes widened, and Gigi's mouth fell open.
Oh, Ives, you heard us that day?
Layla asked.
I came to your room to show you something, and I heard you crying, and I didn't mean to hear it.
Ivy was sobbing now.
But I did, and I don't understand, and I hate you because you were mad.
Ives.
Layla put her hands on her sister's shoulders, but Ivy smacked them off. Layla sighed and glanced over her shoulder at a freaked-out-looking Gigi.
I wasn't mad because Gigi likes girls. I wasn't. I'm not.
Then why? She was crying, and you haven't talked in forever. I know you haven't. Not until the night Mom and Dad went out.
No, we hadn't talked in a while. But not because of who Gigi likes. I was upset because...
Layla sighed and rubbed her forehead. It's okay, Lay, Gigi said. She knelt down next to Layla, shielding them all with her big umbrella. Layla nodded.
I was a terrible friend to Gigi, okay, Ives? I was mad because Gigi didn't tell me, and I heard it from some guy I barely knew. I was hurt that Gigi didn't trust me with that. Not because she likes girls. Ivy blinked at her.
Really?
Layla nodded. But even that was wrong of me because, well, coming out is hard, and I have no idea what that's like. And I should have just let Gigi do it the way she needed to. It wasn't about me. I should have supported her no matter what. Gigi reached out and grabbed Layla's hand. Then Gigi grabbed Ivy's, too. Ives? Ivy looked up into Gigi's brown eyes. Why did this make you so upset? Gigi asked. The idea that Layla might not be my friend because I like girls. Layla curled a piece of wet hair off Ivy's cheek, tucking it behind her ear. It made Ivy cry even harder. Ivy nudged her bag out from under her legs and took out her purple notebook. She flipped through the remaining drawings, all her explanations so clear. Layla and Gigi waited patiently, and Ivy was glad. She needed the time to look, to see herself. As she looked at all her stormy treehouse drawings, all those pictures with her tucked away inside with some nameless girl, she noticed something else. In between all the treehouses were other drawings, too. Drawings of things Ivy loved, like the little cape off the Gulf of Mexico where her family went the summer she was 10, water like a sapphire under the sun. Ivy remembered she'd used every blue she owned to make the sea look like that. There were drawings of delicate purple violets and bright yellow tulips, a sketch of Ivy's mother, pregnant belly full and round as she drew in her own notebook. Layla, her head thrown back and laughing. Taryn with that peaceful look on her face she got whenever she and Ivy pondered mysteries together. A stack of books with a cup of tea set on top. This very oak tree, as viewed from Ivy's old attic room. Aaron's and Evan's tiny hands reaching toward each other as they napped on a blanket in the living room. Ivy, her foot resting on top of a black and green soccer ball, and her arms crossed, her expression triumphant. There were dozens of pictures, drawings of the things that made Ivy happy. Self-portraits, all the colors of her world, all the things that made her feel like her. Liking girls was part of that, but it wasn't everything. It was one piece in a bigger puzzle, and when you put all the pieces together, there was Ivy.
This is me,
Ivy whispered. She slid her notebook into Layla's lap.
This is me.
Layla didn't say anything. She just took Ivy's offered notebook, being sure to keep it protected under Gigi's umbrella. Then she turned each page carefully and gently, taking her time on each drawing. These are beautiful, Ives, Gigi said, and Ivy felt herself smile. When Layla was done, Ivy handed her the yellow notebook, open to the picture of her and June in the treehouse. Layla's eyes softened with recognition.
That's why you've been so upset with me lately, Layla said. Because you thought I'd be angry with you like you thought I was angry with Gigi.
Ivy's throat ached.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
For what? Layla said, gliding her hand over Ivy's hair.
That wasn't your fault, okay? It was mine. I should have just asked you, Ivy said. But I was scared.
I know.
I'm really sorry, Ives.
Ivy slid her purple notebook back into her own lap. She flipped through the drawings again. They all looked different somehow. Different from even a couple of weeks ago. They were a little splattered with rain, and the storm around them bent the trees and shook the earth. But the drawings were safe. As she looked at them, treehouse pictures and all the ones in between, she didn't feel so stormy anymore. She felt relieved. This is my letter to the world that never wrote to me. Suddenly, she knew exactly what Emily Dickinson had meant. It wasn't about whether or not June liked Ivy back.
And it wasn't about Taryn, or Mom, or Layla, or what anyone thought about who Ivy was. It wasn't about the world at all. Emily still had things to say. And so did Ivy. Chapter 31. Belonging. Mom curled up next to Ivy on the bed at the Calliope Inn. Layla was tucked in on Ivy's other side, her fingers moving slowly through Ivy's wet hair. Dad sat at the end of the bed, and he kept patting Ivy's leg under the pink and white floral quilt, like he was making sure she was still there. Aaron and Evan slept in their little bassinets. Everything looked the same as it did before Ivy left to stay at Taryn's. The room was a mess, all their hand-me-down clothes and toys and towels slung over the backs of chairs and piled on the desk. It smelled the same, like baby powder and toothpaste and peanut butter. But everything was different. Earlier, when Layla and Ivy got back to the hotel room, Mom and Dad attack-hugged both of them. Then Mom made Ivy change out of her wet clothes and tucked her into bed. When Ivy was warm and dry, her parents brought over a double chocolate cupcake with a candle sticking out of the top and a small wrapped rectangular package. Ivy devoured the cupcake, and now the package was on her stomach, still wrapped. "I really think you should open your present," Layla said, nudging the package with her knuckle. Ivy didn't really care what was inside. It didn't matter all that much anymore, but she opened it anyway. The wrapping paper was sky blue and sparkly, so pretty that it was almost a shame to tear it. But Ivy was glad that she did. Inside was a pack of beautiful, brand new, dream come true, dual-tipped brush pens. The exact same ones she'd lost in the storm. Ivy hugged them to her chest like a lovey. "I missed our 10:33 date," Mom said quietly after Ivy hiccuped out her thank yous. "Yeah," Ivy said just as quietly. "I'm so sorry, baby. I tried calling after lunch, but I know it's not the same. I know I'm messed up." "Why did you forget?" Mom sighed. "I don't have a good reason. It's been a lot to deal with, Ivy. The house, and then Aaron getting sick, and everything felt off after we sent you to Taryn's." Ivy frowned, wanting to believe that. Not that things had been hard, even though she knew they had been, but that maybe her family didn't feel like her family without her. "Is Aaron okay?" Ivy asked. "He's much better," Mom said. "He misses you." "He does not," Ivy said.
"He does, too,"
Dad said, wiggling Ivy's foot.
"You're the only one who can pull off a good enough monkey face to make him laugh. I've tried, trust me."
Ivy smiled, but her heart still hurt. She felt more like herself than she had in a long time. But did this new Ivy, the real Ivy, still fit with her family?
"That picture I found," Mom said. "The one you drew of all of us that I liked so much."
Ivy swallowed and looked at her mother.
"That drawing is not perfect, Ivy," she said. "Not by a long shot."
"Mom, way to be harsh,"
Layla said, but Ivy squeezed her sister's hand.
"You don't think so?"
Ivy asked Mom.
"Nope." "What picture?"
Dad asked. Mom lifted a brow at her. Ivy pushed back the covers, messing up their Aberdeen pile, and scooted off the bed. She found her messenger bag near the sofa and took out her yellow notebook, flipping to the back. There she removed a folded piece of paper and handed it to her dad. He unfolded it, his forehead wrinkling up as he looked at it.
"Nope,"
he said.
"Definitely not perfect."
"Why are you guys being jerks?"
Layla asked, huffing through her nose. Dad smiled and handed the drawing to Layla. She snapped it out of his hands, her eyes widening as she took in the details.
"Oh," she said, her eyes finding Ivy's.
"No, this is far from perfect."
Ivy took the drawing back and looked at it. It was her family. They were all there, except
for her. But now, she saw where she should go, right next to Layla, so that they were sandwiched in between their parents. Maybe Aaron should be in Ivy's lap, so she could monkey face him if he got upset. She looked at all the colors in her new brush pens, and she could see herself, pink-haired, and maybe wearing her favorite green beetle shirt that Layla had given her but was now lost. A girl could dream. Ivy was very good at dreaming. It wouldn't be perfect. Ivy wasn't sure that perfect existed. Because this family stuff, this life stuff, it was messy. Maybe perfect was just another word for belonging, for feeling like yourself. It didn't mean things weren't hard. It just meant they were right. It just meant that eventually things would get better and make more sense, that your heart wouldn't always feel so lonely. It meant safe. It meant okay. Ivy found her purple notebook in her bag and placed it in Mom's lap. Layla reached out and squeezed Ivy's hand, and she didn't let go as their parents flipped through Ivy's life. Layla didn't let go as they turned the pages of Ivy's heart, as Dad teared up and Mom ran her hand over her drawings with a little smile on her face. Layla didn't let go when they looked at all the treehouse pictures, when Ivy explained what they meant to her, when her parents wrapped her in their arms, pulling Layla with them, and they were a big, perfect Aberdeen pile again. Chapter 32. Resilient Ivy Aberdeen. The Kellerman Gallery was packed. Most of the town had shown up to see resilient Helenwood, and all the artwork that usually hung on the walls was replaced with a cornucopia of colors and mediums, words and photographs. 2 weeks ago, after the spring dance and Ivy's move back to the Calliope Inn with her family, Mom helped her go through all her drawings and pick out the ones she wanted to submit to Ms. LaFontaine for the show. They chose 10 treehouse drawings, along with a new drawing of Ivy all alone, which would be at the center. Alone, but not lonely. In the drawing, she was standing on a green lawn that looked exactly like the yard she'd spent the past 12 years playing in and running through. Campouts and hide-and-go-seek, picnics and cartwheels. Storm clouds rose up behind her, dark and threatening, but a powerful sun peeked through, sending coppery rays through the whole drawing, and Ivy was smiling. When Ivy handed all the drawings over to her homeroom teacher, she told Ms. LaFontaine that they were supposed to be seen as one piece, one story. She laid out the drawings on a few desks and told her teacher how she wanted them displayed. Unframed, ripped edges of the paper intact, water splotches and wrinkled corners left alone, pinned with thumbtacks in a circle, all those stormy treehouse drawings surrounding one strong, smiling girl. A girl who was sure about who she was. A girl who wasn't afraid or ashamed, even if a time came again when she wasn't so sure anymore. Because Ivy knew that wondering was what life was all about. Wondering was how you found yourself. Underneath the piece, one single white card would read, "My letter to the world." Medium, ink on paper. Artist, Ivy Aberdeen. Ms. LaFontaine loved it. The school's principal loved it, and the elementary and high school art teachers and principals loved it. Ivy didn't know if they saw what those treehouse pictures meant to Ivy. Maybe they just saw two good friends, a portrait of community and bravery and safety while the world went wild around them. And that was okay, because that's what the drawings were. Dreams that got Ivy through a storm. Now Ivy stood before her piece as the gallery filled up and up and up. People came by, tilted their heads at her drawings, and Ivy held her breath while they inspected all the little bits of her heart. But in the end, it didn't really matter what they thought. Ivy loved each and every speck of color on those drawings, and that's all she really cared about. Still, it was nerve-wracking having everyone see so much of her. and she was glad when she spotted her mom's pale red head weaving through the crowd. Layla and Dad were right behind her, a baby boy strapped on each chest.
"There's my girl," Mom said as she reached Ivy.
Ivy threw her arms around her mom's waist.
"Looks like it's going well,"
Dad said, ruffling Ivy's hair.
"I think so,"
Ivy said.
"Duh, you're brilliant,"
Layla said, grinning at Ivy. Ivy made a monkey face at Aaron, his feet dangling from Dad's carrier, and he giggled before stuffing his fist into his mouth.
"So proud of you, sweetheart," Mom said.
"When we get settled at Jasper's mom's place, will you help me figure out my next Harriet story?"
"Really?"
Mom nodded.
"Absolutely.
And I think it's time for you to start writing your own stories, too." Ivy smiled.
"Yeah, maybe I will."
"June's piece is really nice," Layla said. "Have you seen it?" Ivy's smile dimmed a little, and she shook her head. Ivy hadn't included the drawing of her and June in the treehouse as part of the show. The short-haired girl was very obviously June, and Ivy didn't feel right about putting it out there for everyone to see. For the past 2 weeks, Ivy and June hadn't really talked. Ivy didn't know if that was because of June or herself, but she pretty much avoided June, spending her lunchtime in the library. June hadn't tried to talk to her either. Ivy wasn't sure there was anything left to say, and she guessed that was okay. She guessed it had to be. Ivy's parents said they were going to look at the other art pieces, and Layla met up with Gigi while Ivy hung around her piece. She was supposed to stay close to it in case anyone wanted to discuss it. It seemed weird to Ivy, the idea that someone would want to discuss her drawings. It wasn't long before Taryn slid up next to her. She was wearing a gray dress with tiny pink flowers. Just as with June, Ivy hadn't talked to Taryn since the night of her birthday. Taryn had slipped a few apology notes into Ivy's locker, but Ivy never responded. She didn't feel mad, but she didn't feel not mad either. She felt hurt. They stood there for a long time, just looking at Ivy's piece.
"Pondering mysteries?"
Taryn finally asked. Ivy let herself smile a little, pondering a lot. Next to her, Taryn exhaled.
"How does ink come out of pens?"
"Parallel universes. Freaky.
We only use 10% of our brains.
Area 51.
Boys, ugh."
Ivy laughed, but then it faded quickly. "Friends." Taryn's smile dropped away, too. "Those are a mystery." "They shouldn't be."
"No, they shouldn't."
Then Taryn turned and faced Ivy.
"I'm so sorry. Taking your notebook and keeping it from you. Writing you all those notes without telling you who I was. That was wrong. Really, really wrong. And I'm so, so sorry."
Ivy nodded. The hurt didn't go away, but she thought about Layla and Gigi, and why Layla had handled everything so badly.
"I'm sorry I pulled away from you this past year," Ivy said. "I didn't know I was doing it, but you're right. I did. But I really wasn't ready to talk about it, Taryn. I wasn't ready because I was figuring it out. And even though I know that I like girls, well, I'm still figuring it out. Figuring me out. I'm not sure that ever goes away for anyone. It's a lot. But I need you to know, it wasn't because I didn't trust you. It wasn't about you at all."
"I get that now," Taryn said. "I promise, I get it."
Ivy nodded.
"Okay. Okay."
And it was. It wasn't perfect, but it was a start. Ivy knew that Taryn loved her just as she was. That was one good thing that Keeper had given them both.
"This is so good, Ivy,"
Taryn said after a few seconds, motioning toward my letter to the world.
"Thanks. I mean, it really captures the whole surviving a storm thing, you know? With the messy paper and the ripped corners,
and you standing in your empty yard looking all tough and confident. It's awesome.
Ivy widened her eyes at her best friend.
What?
Taryn said, laughing.
I can be artistic. I get it.
I'll never doubt you again. Taryn smiled, but then her expression grew serious.
So, have you talked to June?
Ivy turned back to her piece, sighing. Then, without warning, Taryn curled Ivy into a hug.
You should talk to June, she whispered. She's your friend, and you mean a lot to her.
She told me so. And then she squeezed Ivy close one more time and wandered away. Ivy watched her join Drew at his piece. It was a collage of shredded roof tiles surrounding a red heart covered in barbed wire. But the heart was whole, no cracks in sight. Ivy had heard that his parents officially separated, but Drew seemed to be doing okay.
Funny, Ivy thought. All the things people could survive that they never imagined they could.
Her eyes took on a life of their own, drifting through the room. Ivy saw kids from her school, kids from her sister's school. She saw Layla standing with Gigi, who was holding hands with a tall, blonde girl.
That must be Bryn.
Next to her, Gigi beamed, practically glowing. If Ivy drew them right now, she'd use all primary watercolors, bright blues and yellows, but softly blended and with delicate lines. Gigi caught Ivy's eye and smiled. She waved her free hand at Ivy, her nails painted to match a rainbow. Red thumb, orange forefinger, yellow middle finger, green ring finger, blue pinky. Ivy wiggled her matching rainbow nails back, and Gigi gave her a red thumbs up. But something in Ivy still hurt, and she couldn't help looking around for June. She looked for her everywhere. Yesterday, she shared a turkey sandwich in the inn's office with Robin and Jessa, who was visiting for the next couple of weeks, and told them the whole story. They exchanged one of those smiles grown-ups use when they think a kid is really cute, but also really clueless.
Definitely a crush,
Jessa had said, crunching on a baby carrot. Her glossy hair fell into her eyes, and she brushed it away.
Oh, yeah, Robin said,
and Ivy huffed a lot of air through her nose.
I know, Ivy said. Now what do I do about it?
Robin's smile turned serious, and she took Ivy's hand.
Honestly, nothing.
It'll hurt for a while, and then it'll get better.
Robin said it would be okay, and Ivy believed her.
You just focus on you, Robin said, ripping off an edge of crust from her sandwich and popping it into her mouth. Focus on friendship and feeling okay with yourself and proud of yourself. That's what's important right now.
Ivy knew Robin was right, so that was what she was doing. Still, when she saw June near Annie Demetrius's drippy neon painting of a ballet dancer in a leg cast, her stomach flipped and flopped and then started running a marathon around her body. Then Ivy noticed June's own resilient piece. It was the glass girl. A big painting on a canvas, actually. But clearly, a glass girl was at the center. She was just like the one June had drawn in Ivy's hotel room, but bigger and more beautiful. The girl was made of all the blues, and little sparks shot out from all her edges, shards of glass falling off and away. Ivy stepped closer and saw words spread out all over the canvas. Ivy couldn't see it clearly, but she was sure it was June's glass girl poem, cut up and pasted here and there. There were photos, too, of ice skates and soccer balls, tubes of lipstick, and red high-heeled shoes. It was beautiful. It was June's perfect letter to the world. And Ivy wasn't the only one who thought so. Dr. Somerset stood right in front of the piece, one hand pressed to her mouth, the other on June's shoulder. June leaned into her mom, one arm wrapped around Dr. Somerset's waist. They stood like that for a long time, and Ivy was glad. She was glad June's letter finally found its recipient.
But then June turned her head, catching Ivy staring at her, and Ivy felt her whole body flame up in a wash of embarrassment. She turned away so fast that she made herself dizzy and disturbed one of the drawings near the bottom of her piece. She busied herself with sticking the thumbtack a little tighter into the wall. "Hey, Ivy." Ivy swallowed and took a deep breath before turning around. "Hey, June." June ran her eyes over Ivy's piece, a little smile on her face. "Wow, Ivy, it's so perfect. Really perfect. I can't imagine how it could be more perfect. I mean, I knew if you ever decided to do something for the art show, it would be great, but wow, this blows me away. So pretty, so totally you. I can't get over it. It's so..."
"Breathe, June."
She did, inhaling deeply.
"Sorry."
"Don't be sorry, just don't pass out."
"And thanks."
June nodded, folding her arms and keeping her eyes glued to the wall.
"I saw your piece, too," Ivy said. "It's really amazing. It looked like your mom liked it."
June smiled, but didn't look at her.
"Yeah, thanks. She did like it. And we talked about it, too. A little bit. I think we'll talk more. She said we would." "That's great."
June nodded, and they fell silent.
"Listen, Ivy, I'm sorry," June said after a few weird seconds. "About that night at my house. Your picture was so pretty, but I didn't know what to say, and I..."
"It's okay," Ivy said. "You don't have to explain.
You don't have to like the drawing."
Her throat felt tight as she got the words out, but they were the right words. It wasn't June's fault that she didn't feel the same. It wasn't Ivy's either. It just was what it was.
"No, but I did like it," June said. "It was really beautiful, and the colors were perfect, and I really loved the way you drew me. It actually looked like me, and I looked happy and like I was really living my life. I loved it."
Ivy blinked at her.
"Okay."
June looked down at the floor and her lip trembled.
"I don't want you to hate me."
"Me hate you?" June nodded.
"June, I don't want you to hate me."
June's eyes found Ivy's.
"I don't. Ivy, I swear I don't. I'm just sorry that I can't, that right now, I don't..."
"No, no, don't be sorry." Ivy wanted to hold June's hand, hug her, something. Not because she had a crush on her, but because June was her friend.
"I just..."
June took a deep breath.
"I got sick when I was 8, you know?
I never got to think about any of the normal stuff kids did. I never got to do the normal things. Sometimes I feel like I'm still 8, still stuck in elementary school, like I'm always trying to catch up. There's so much I haven't figured out or done or even thought about, not like you and Taryn and everyone else has."
"I totally get that."
"I didn't even want to dance with a boy the other night. I wanted to keep dancing with you and Taryn and just be with my friends. I just thought I should want to dance with a boy, you know?"
Ivy nodded.
"But that's silly," June went on. "The only thing we should do is be ourselves, right?" Ivy nodded again, but this time she added a smile.
"You're my friend," June said. "My best friend. I love you, Ivy. I really do."
Ivy's heart exploded. A lightning bolt through her middle, a thunderclap in her chest. It was a beautiful storm.
"Even though..."
Ivy swallowed hard to keep the lightning inside, because it really wanted to spill out of her mouth and ears and nose right now.
"Even though I am the way that I am."
June's eyes widened.
"Totally. But no, that's not right either. Not even though. Because. Because that's you, right? At least it's a part of you, and you are who I want as my friend."
Then June reached out and took Ivy's hand, wrapping her fingers around Ivy's palm. She squeezed. Ivy squeezed back. Chapter 33.